apologize for being a full half hour late. There is some discussion about the possibility of starting our particular general government subcommittee just a little bit earlier, perhaps as early as 8 o'clock, and based upon Representative Devlin's, or Senator Devlin's early arrival, 7:30 probably wouldn't be out of the question, Senator. So we appreciate your patience while we get started this morning and apologize for being late. We're going to continue on this morning in the General Government Subcommittee with a with the work session, which has been in progress for 2 days, on House Bill 5002 related to the Department of Administrative Services. And yesterday we were completed with the four-page analysis from Legislative Fiscal Office. Legislative Fiscal Office today is represented by Dallas Wynn, and Karen Segrist is our administrative assistant. And we will turn the time back to Dallas for some issues that we need to get on the record, and then we've got some handouts.
Mr. Chair.
I beg your pardon. Senator, Senator Leonard.
Just for the record, so that the public just know that this is all the time that we have a hat. Today is May Day, and...
I beg your pardon. You're absolutely correct, Senator. I should have had for the record that Senator Winters is decked out in her beautiful big hat, and I am decked out in my beef hat.
And the Senate, I think, is recognizing May Day today.
What are you going to do? Drive up and down Red Square with
no,
the missiles?
No, we all have our hats on over there.
Oh, okay.
You can get right in.
Okay.
The parade around the rotunda, are you coming?
I'm bringing one.
All right. Okay.
All right. Dallas?
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'd like to get a couple more things on the record for purposes of the budget report. We would like to include in the budget report a discussion of the expectation that the Department of Administrative Services will work to strengthen the role of the Capital Projects Advisory Board. There was a lot of discussion earlier about that function, and without getting into a lot of detail, we'd like to have the department pursue that during the interim, and maybe we'll put in some reporting also to the interim committees of where they see the Capital Projects Advisory Board. This was in line with some discussions. The Capital Planning Commission has its obligations in statute, so we can't cross over there, but just to look at what the Capital Projects Advisory Board can do. Also, to provide some general discussion on the expectations of the department to coordinate and streamline the disparate state agency functions to reduce duplication and overlap and ineffectual use of state resources. I think this is consistent with the direction the committee has been going, and its concerns about the duplication of efforts and consolidation and coordination of state activities. Also, in the co-chairs in the governor's budget, there was a transfer of $600,000 from the productivity fund that's currently in the Department of Administrative Services. And the department can transfer that simply with acknowledgement in the budget report that the department will transfer the $600,000 from the productivity fund into the general fund.
Which was the productivity fund used for? Where is it appropriated?
This is, I would refer to the department here on this one because it has to do with efficiencies gained and some savings, and they're allowed to be used and go back to the board, I believe. So,
Mr. Chair, for the record, Kelly Frills with Budget Management. Productivity Fund originally came out from savings from the Human Resource Division in our organization. The plan was to use this as seed money for either grants or loans to agencies where they could increase their productivity. Typically, it was supposed to be a loan program where they would use the money and then pay back the loan. And we never used the full amount of it, and it's been sitting there and was moved to our IT for similar function, and they never used it. And so I think this is the point we need to return it back to the general fund.
Are there other similar type funds anywhere within the agency that are currently idle?
I'm not aware of any, Mr. Chair.
Representative Patrick?
What was the original balance on the fund, and is money due back to the to DAS from other agencies as a result of
Mr. Chair, Representative Patrick, does anybody know? I certainly don't know. We can provide you that history if you'd like it.
So what's the plan? Are we just forgiving whatever we've given out that was there previously?
Mr. Chair, Representative Patrick, there is no money due back at this point.
Okay.
One other item, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, is there's the accounting for the Oregon growth account expenses. The earnings are transferred to the Department of Administrative Services, and then there's for distribution. And they needed some direction about the accounting for the expenses incurred or taken out of the revenues by the Treasury. And we are recommending that they continue the past practice of just recognizing the net revenues as they come to the department to be distributed out. It has to do with the accounting for Treasury's costs of administering before it gets over. Do you just count the net revenue, or do you gross it up to recognize an expense that you don't really incur? And so we're recommending just the net revenue be recognized.
Mr. Chair, I want to go back to the productivity account for a second. This is money that was there last biennium and has been there for a while, never been used, and it's going to be transferred in the 03-05 biennium.
That is correct.
And it was given to IRMD during the last biennium to utilize.
For the record, Kelly Frills with DAS. I don't know the specific biennium, but it's been there for like two or three biennia. I think it was like...
But you guys just testified on the record that was transferred to information technology.
We moved, because the productivity fund was not being used by agencies in order to increase for specific projects, we moved it to HR, to IRMD, their information systems folks, with the understanding that they might be able to use it for a similar purpose.
So there's been $600,000 sitting there in the last biennium for efficiency items, productivity items that remained unused. I want to be clear on the record. I want to be very clear.
Mr. Chair, my understanding is that we did not use this money for any of the productivity items we did during this biennium.
Okay. So do we have a list? I'd like to see the criteria by which that money could be used over the last three bienniums or whenever the fund was started and what the balance is. Mr. Chair, I'm not real pleased about hearing about this. We put in budget notes and other things. We switched the authority to IRMD and DAS this last biennium on the public safety efficiencies piece. We were told, and the governor's office represented to us, as well as BAM, that there was no money available to do the studies that needed to get done in order to move something forward on the CGIS budgets that we statutorily put in and we've been working on since 1999 with budget notes and reserving funds back. And it pains me to now discover that there is $600,000 for efficiencies remains unspent, and I guess I'm not very pleased about that. There's nothing I can do at this point in time.
Mr. Chair and Representative Patridge, the limiting factor may have been that what your plan was or what the plan is you would like this money to be used for would be more as just to spend it for a specific project. And I think the language that limits our use of it for a specific project was it primarily was going to be a loan and you would expect payment back from that loan for the increased productivity.
That's fine. That's why I want to see what the criteria are. But but there's been $600,000, and now we're just kicking it back out instead of trying to find efficiency.
Kelly, that loan criteria was an internally imposed criteria.
Mr. Chair, I can't remember specifically, but I think it was through an administrative rule that they set up the criteria. I don't know whether it was in statute or not.
Okay. I just think we probably ought to have a full history of when the funds were generated. And you say that originally came out of which division? Human Resource?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I think they had additional expenditures at their revenue at the end of the biennium. We wanted to use it for productivity purposes.
Okay. I think that was the one of the visions that Representative Patrick was concerned about yesterday, with the high number of principal executive managers in that particular department as well. Please, Director Weeks.
Mr. Chairman, for the Management Committee, I'm Gary Weistrup from the Department of Administrative Services. The fund that Kelly's describing to you is in statute. I think that, I don't know if Representative Patrick may be looking, but I think the statute actually describes the criteria stuff. The money was transferred to IRMD, not for IRMD to use. It was to be housed in IRMD for them to consider proposals that came from other agencies. IRMD itself could have made a proposal and didn't. So, in fact, you're right, but I don't want the record to show that this was just for IRMD. Other agencies had the opportunity to come in and make proposals for productivity and efficiency, and they didn't. And the fund hasn't been used for some time, and that's why we, you know, said it ought not to stay with us unless we're going to figure out a way to promote this program in a better way.
And Gary, your recollection or the historical recollection of it coming into the statute was that it had already been generated in the Human Resource Division at that time?
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, that's where it was housed initially, and it was moved to IRMD. And there actually may be more than $600,000. There may be closer to $700,000. All the payments have been made. It's all up to date. There's no outstanding payments to come in.
But the original, was it an appropriation or was it an original assessment?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure if it was a general fund appropriation that started or not. We'll go back and research where the source of the money came.
Mr. Chair, no, it wasn't. It was, there were assessment to agencies, from agencies to HRSD,
okay.
Human Resources, and there was excess money at the end of the biennium, and they wanted to use it for a specific purpose related to productivity.
Okay. So we'll just need to know how it was assessed and collected then back as far back as 1999, you think, Kelly?
Mr. Chair, I think it was more like the 95, yes. 97, okay. 93, 95.
Find out how that assessment was made and then what it amounted to.
The criteria and who used it.
Good. Thank you very much. Representative Patrick?
What's the formal name of this?
Productivity, Mr. Chairman, Productivity Fund, I believe. Productivity Improvement Fund.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Becker informs me that it was from our recycling program. I'll find out what the source of it is for the specifics of it, Mr. Chair.
Was that part of the Garden Industries program then?
Mr. Chair, let me get you the specific information because I thought it was from our assessment.
Okay. The light's going on up here, I think. Dallas, please.
Okay, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, that summarizes what we needed to get on the record. We have been through all of our recommendations. With your permission, I'd like to see where what the committee's recommendations would be then to move the budget bill out. I have passed out to you a copy of the budget bill, House Bill 5002. There's a -1 amendment to that. And this was done, this is just some language when it was originally crafted, was deliberately left out pending resolution of some wording on some accounts. And so because we needed to get a bill produced, that language was left out just so that we could provide the it was at the advice of our own legislative council, John Robinson, so we can get the wording correct. And so the -1 amendment is just to improve and add to the bill 5002. It doesn't change anything substantively other than clarify. Also, so we would like that to be adopted as when we move forward. Also, if you look at House Bill 5002, lines 14 through 17 on page 1, your staff should be deleted. This has to do with the monies for the Oregon Opportunity Program. This is, again, with Oregon Health Sciences University. Steve Bender, when they do the budget for Oregon Health Sciences University, will pick this up include it there. The other adjustments to the amendments to the bill would then be to the general fund appropriation amount and to the other fund limitation to be provided in the department, both for operating expenses and capital improvements. So,
okay, and there continues to be a $1.6 million biennially
yes.
assessment for the payment to the Oregon Public Broadcasting Corporation.
Yes,
that, and Southern.
That's the lottery funds for the
lottery fund bond back bonds.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You have before you, if you remember, I passed out some time ago, Monday, it seems like some time ago, Monday, which is this, summarizes, it was this, summarize the recommendations. This is the net effect of the recommendations that we had provided you.
That was part of a two-page narrative with the...
Right, there was the one page that showed you what the savings from assessments would be. The other sheet that summarized the effect. This is after all of the recommendations that staff made.
This perhaps you could go through those seven items.
Sure. Off of this? Okay, on the assessment savings... there would be reductions in assessments from the elimination of salary and merit increases of $735,362.
This is total for the department?
Total for the department, yes.
Okay.
The elimination of standard inflation increases in package 030, this includes the AG's adjustment of $1,356,460. If the committee would like to direct us to, we could make an additional adjustment for the other dollar of our savings and make the necessary adjustments there. The inflation adjustment for the, this is a small package that had to do, again, with attorney's fees of 17. We would reduce assessments by $17,228. The liability insurance rates that we discussed at length, the reduction of that assessment, risk management by $5,200,702. The charges to agencies related to packages that were originally included in the price list but not in ultimate division budgets amounted to $2,129,901. The reduction in the toll-free, the next one is an adjustment that we'll have to make in each agency's budget as a reduction of telecommunications costs because of the 3 cents per minute savings in toll-free. That aggregate, it's not an assessment, but it'll be a reduction in the price list, so agencies will have to pay that less. And that's estimated at $1,492,819. And then the last one, when we eliminate vacant positions, the assessment portion would have savings to agencies of $258,109. So the total reduction in price list things would be for the toll-free savings plus assessment reductions is $11,190,581. We are using about a 35% of that being general fund as an estimate. And so we estimate the general fund equivalent savings as this gets distributed through agencies of about $3.9 million. Once we complete this budget, the adjustment, we will finalize the reductions to assessments, and then your staff will disseminate that not only to the other LFO staff, but also to budget management staff so they can take the reductions in all of the subsequent agency budgets that come forward. You'll be able to see that subsequent agencies will see a state agent, a Department of Administrative Services assessment reduction as a savings in those budgets. So.
Questions? Representative Johnson, I beg your pardon.
Dallas, the piece that I'm wrestling with is you keep talking about reductions to assessments, and through the course of these hearings and through the lobbying efforts of some other agencies, I have heard about increases, costs in rent, pass-through increases. Could you explain that equilibrium if they're net reductions and yet we're hearing about retroactive catching up?
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, managers of the committee. These reductions here are strictly assessments that are from the services such as accounting services,
right.
Budget services, computer services, and the like. The rental, the facilities division, the increase in billings, if you will, for maintenance, janitorial services, these are to non-uniform rent buildings, are what we would consider on a fee portion. These, the only fee that's being reduced here is the 3 cents per minute on toll usage. So that is being dealt with a little differently agency by agency in their budgets, and there are still ongoing discussions with facilities. There isn't a specific reduction in here across or for those agencies that are in non-uniform rent buildings. I do know that it was brought to your attention here with the Public Employees Retirement System. They're in the process of verifying the numbers and maybe looking even at alternative ways of handling their maintenance. Again, I'm aware that with respect to the Blind Commission or Commission for the Blind, that there are ongoing discussions and looking at how to deal with that. I know that's not a direct answer to your question, I believe, but
maybe I can ask my question more specifically, and that would help bring focus to this. When the schedule for the reductions is set, that schedule then has benefited from legislative oversight, and it is set. And what I'm trying to figure out is, it seems as though some of the adjustments, particularly the retroactive adjustments, were a surprise. And regardless of the ongoing effort to ameliorate the impacts to folks like the blind, they were a surprise. And I'm trying to understand how it is that, as a result of whatever budget work we do here, that fixes all of these assessments in some point in space, and the opportunity to adjust up and down, depending on what Department of Administrative Services needs are curtailed. I'm thinking about the discussion that we had yesterday about finding funding for the Progress Board by just assessing agencies more. And what I'm trying to do is to fix a point in space where there aren't any surprises for agencies. They can go ahead and prepare their budgets with integrity. And we're not finding out after this panel has had the opportunity to review these issues that then there are subsequent surprises, particularly retroactive surprises.
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, members of the committee, I guess the only assurance that we have really is comes from the department that they're trying to fix this, and that going forward, the rates that they are setting for these non-uniform rent buildings accurately reflect the costs that are being incurred to do that. And I'm trying to think about if you would like some specificity in the budget report, possibly a budget note or something.
Possibly. I'm perfectly satisfied with Director Weeks' assurances on the record. And I understand the desirability of truing up the costs, because I understand, at least I think I understand, and I welcome correction if I'm wrong, that for a long time the blind had been subsidized, and that was an artificially low rate, and that in an effort for you to true up the costs and to have an accurate picture and really truth in budgeting, you were making that adjustment. What I'm trying to insulate against are retroactive surprises of great magnitude where the agency is just suddenly presented with you got to fix this, and oh, by the way, it happens to be a factor of six of your old rent.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Johnson, this is an anomaly, and you're absolutely correct. We have subsidized the Blind Commission's costs out of the stabilization fund for the last few biennia. We have no stabilization fund anymore. It's all gone, and I
I think it'd be a stretch to say it was a complete surprise to the Blind Commission. I mean, they've known that they were being subsidized and that at some point we have to charge the true cost. But the specific answer to your question is once we finalize this budget and the assessments are set, we're going to live within those assessment levels. And if we can't, we would come to the emergency board in the interim and talk with them. But you know, we will live within the assessments that we're going to give agencies, and we're not going to surprise an agency in, at any point in the biennium with a large cost that we haven't anticipated.
Mr. Chair, I'm satisfied with that. The only possible area for debate is large cost, and right-thinking folks might differ on what that amount is. I just am trying to, having run an agency, just trying to insulate against that note from DAS that says, oh, by the way, whatever we're charging you is now a factor of 8 or whatever.
And Mr. Chairman, Representative Johnson, I should have described the large cost. For a small agency, a change of $10,000 can be a big deal. And I understand that. And I don't want any agency to be surprised by us. So it would be any large adjustment relative to the size of the budget for the agency, we will not engage in. And if we have a problem with the assessments, and I don't believe we will, I wouldn't change the assessments without coming in and advising the legislature.
Director Weeks, let me just, from the presentation that Lori Warner worked through with us on the facilities division, relative to that monthly fee per square foot charge increased from $1.08 in 2001-2003 to $1.30 in 2003-2005. The agencies in new buildings pay a 10-cent surcharge, while the Uniform Rate Stabilization Fund will effectively be depleted at the end of the 2001-2003 biennium. Well, that's basically what you're basically restating, Representative Johnson, that we do not have anything to stabilize or to subsidize these other rents.
Correct, Mr. Chairman. We were actually trying to support the Blind Commission using the stabilization fund, and we can't do it anymore, and it's time to say to the Blind Commission, you have to pay your real cost of gentry.
And Mr. Chair, I recognize that. I applaud the truing up of these budgets. It's just the element of surprise, and I think we could probably debate here how warned they were.
Yeah.
The presentation that I had in my office gave the thunderbolt notice of method of notification, and I am completely comforted by Director Weeks' comments on the record about coming to the legislature, recognizing proportionality in what constitutes large, and I'm comforted by those remarks.
Being a history buff on the Oregon Trail, is that like the thunderbolt that Lewis and Clark brought with them?
Kind of, sort of.
These might be described as the shock and awe assessments.
Shock and awe.
Thank you.
And just by way of additional review on those numbers which had been brought to us during the facilities, that's a 22-cent increase, or 20%, so that there's no mistake. We're talking about a 20% increase, which, because we do not have a stabilization fund anymore, it's a substantial increase. 20% is 10% per annum, basically. Well, worse than that, it's 20% straight across. Did you have a follow-up on that?
Yes. For agencies that own their own buildings, they're not subject to any assessment of facilities from you, are they?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Johnson, they are subject to the costs of utilities and janitorial and grounds maintenance and so on like that.
Based upon services provided.
Right.
That they pick off a menu of available services.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, that's correct. But they have to have their grounds maintained, and they get that done by us. But there are choices on the janitorial. I mean, we do use some qualified rehab facility.
Sure.
Senator Winters and then Senator Devlin.
Just for the record, and piggybacking on Representative Johnson, for the Blind Commission and having their budget, that was a complete shock with their increase. And it poses the problem of where do they get their funds in order to continue, because it was not just a small amount. If you're looking at a small agency, to them it was huge. And I would concur with Representative Johnson that those kinds of shockwaves that we need to make sure that we don't do those. They have very little abilities to come up with those fundings, as you know, unless we, in our budget process, give them additional general fund. And in this climate of crisis, that makes it not easy to do.
Senator Dillon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Since we probably have about a day, and when will we come back to actual acting on this budget? Will it be tomorrow?
It's my understanding that we're going to go ahead and work this budget today, Senator Dillon.
Oh, okay.
Sending it out.
Well, we could either. It's my understanding that co-chairs would like to. Would like to have this work so that we can start getting the assessments calculated and then commuted in the balance of the budget.
Okay. Then, Mr. Chairman, I'll confine my remarks to just a couple of items. If we can go back to Dallas's memo. I'm going to go back to the progress board. I had a discussion with the Senate co-chair yesterday, and I think a good compromise simply would be to leave the authorization for the positions with no funding, no assessment, and leaving it up to the department to find a way to fund the positions. And I'd rather not reduce the number of positions, leave the flexibility to the department to see what resources they can find to operate the progress board. And I don't know if we have to give them, would not assume, since they're going to try to be finding savings in other divisions, that we'd have to give them any other funds limitation. I don't know if we would or not in that. And then I just wanted to clarify one thing from the memo yesterday, because it's a little bit confusing to me what's happened to this. The issue of the transfer, which page is it on? To the Children's Trust Fund. That's been something that's shown up in budget documents all over here, and I'm trying to figure out what is actually the situation with that.
That's under special payments on page 4 of our work document.
Chair Senator Devlin, that's a general fund appropriation that flows through this department as a payment just to the Children's Trust Fund. My understanding is it was it's now a not-for-profit operation, and the proposal here is to, in recognition of the co-chairs, and even the governor had offered this up during the special sessions, is to cease, like we did with the Historical Society and OPB, to stop supporting it, at least for this biennium.
So it's neither in the co-chair's budget nor in the governor's revised budget.
That is my understanding.
Yes. I just want to clarify that.
And then we have, relative to the presentation yesterday, there's a response, a series of responses which have been returned to us, and I didn't get all the way through that response list this morning. I apologize for not having
had. Were these returned to us?
I borrowed the chair.
Oh,
did we pass those out?
Yes, I did. That looks bad.
We had some exit here this morning.
You did? Yeah.
Yesterday.
These were
questions from yesterday.
Can I give you this?
Is this
one? Copy.
No.
That's
I just want to make sure it got passed out to the committee.
Yes.
Okay, I don't have it.
I'm sorry.
Representative Butler and I steal each other's paper on occasion.
Can I see?
Yeah, it's a mutual sharing arrangement, Representative Patrick. Anything that I've taken from you, I can't take anything you take from me, you borrow.
Yeah.
Okay. Gary, one of the things you just mentioned was the menu that folks can select from. The uniform rent rate the $1.30 that we're moving to, you mentioned a menu that they can, that certain buildings may choose from, that you pay their electricity, or you pay their groundwork and those kinds of things. Is the $1.30 per square foot the full service? Is that the full meal deal?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I think it may have been Representative Johnson that used the term menu, but there's not really a menu. The uniform rent rate includes depreciation, maintenance, everything, the janitorial and stuff, everything that we'd need to maintain that facility.
That includes the electricity rate, too, doesn't
correct,
it?
Correct, utilities. Right.
That's correct. Okay. So the Legislative Assembly will move from $1.08 to $1.30, for instance, on their rent rate, is that right?
We own this building, Mr. Chair.
Oh, okay.
We're paying rent for ourselves.
This isn't a Department of Administrative Services building. Okay. Give me an example of someone that would pay the $1.30 rate.
Human Services.
Human Services, transportation.
Someone on the mall.
DCBS. Yes, Mr. Chair.
They don't own the buildings themselves and contract.
No. Now, are there folks that own their own buildings on the mall?
Mr. Chairman, transportation owns its own building.
I think Veterans owns its building.
I'm sorry.
Department of Veterans Affairs owns its
building. They own their building, too. That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
But they still, Mr. Chairman, set aside money for depreciation, and they still, because those buildings will have to be replaced at some time, if not modified and stuff.
But they are also then charged some modified, if you will, from a menu, some portion of that monthly square foot charge for their rent on the mall for the groundskeeping and those kinds of things?
Mr. Chairman, even an agency that owns its own building still pays the cost for utilities, maintenance, grounds, you know, all of those, all depreciation again.
Okay. And those new buildings have the higher surcharge because of the higher depreciation.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. The new buildings come on.
I just because this is a fee that will be spread throughout the government, I just would like to have from legislative fiscal some some confirmation that that you've reviewed those, and then that relative to your modifications and recommendations from legislative fiscal regarding the fiscal or the facilities division, that there isn't a change then from this upper rate.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, this rate was reviewed by the emergency board in one of the prior to session. It again to acknowledge that the rate has been artificially low due to the largesse of the legislature some time ago by providing a rent stabilization fund, and it was predictable that fund would go away, and so I do not believe that the savings that we have will impact the uniform rent by enough to make it wiggle, because within facilities there's more than just, this is across facilities operations and not just for supporting the uniform rent building.
So that I understand, the $1.30 would include in it the utility costs, and as utility costs may fluctuate wildly up or down, then that would go into an ending reserve within that and create its own stabilization fund if it's an overcharge.
For uniform rent buildings, that would be the case, yes. For non-uniform rent buildings, they would be paying the cost of the utilities as they're incurred.
Okay. Dallas, you have yet now to, we're down to the point where you've got your legislative fiscal office recommendation. Are you prepared to go through that recommendation then?
Certainly, Mr. Chair.
Let's do this.
With your permission, would you like to go line by line? Or
yes.
Do we all have that in front of us? That was handout yesterday.
This was actually from Monday.
Why don't we do this? This is from Monday. I'm going to go ahead and gavel at ease here.
I'll run over and
while we gather those. Dallas, would you make sure that everyone's got
sure.
those, please?
I was just going to run over to LFO.
back on the record now. I think we each have a copy of the LFO recommendation. Dallas, can you take us through the broad recommendation, the general fund, lottery fund, other fund, federal fund, non-limited total funds and positions, and give us an update there?
Yeah. The summary of all of my recommendations are contained on the dollars and positions are contained on this one sheet, which would be result in a recommendation of a general fund of $1,084,045. The huge reduction here is due in large measure because of the reduction in the health policy office, health policy research, the transfer of the community solutions to the governor, the savings from not paying the Children's Trust Fund, and also the transfer of revenue returned to the governor's office. There is some general fund savings in the director's office from principally for the Office of Economic Analysis also in there. Lottery funds. There's also a little bit of general fund savings from wage freezes in the office of in the director's office, Office of Economic Analysis. The lottery funds.
Let me just ask you, Dallas, the governor's recommended, this is the original governor's recommended budget, 2003.
Yes, this is the original governor's recommended budget. The governor's balanced budget is commonly referred to.
So the GBB from back in December.
That is correct.
Okay.
The governor's balanced budget also had $1,622,874 of lottery funds. That is staff's recommendation also. That's the debt service on the public broadcasting lottery bonds that were issued last biennium.
How much of that debt service went to OPB versus Southern Oregon?
Okay, roughly 1/8 is Southern Oregon, so about a little over 200,000 of this would be for the there was a total of $8 million in bonds issued. $1 million went to Southern Oregon and $7 million to OPB. So 1/8 of this would be for Southern Oregon.
Thank you.
In the governor's balance budget, $207,148,458 was a recommendation for other funds at limitation. The sum of our recommendations are $201,922,662. Dollars in other funds expenditure limitation. That's a combination. That's capital improvements and operations. The positions, I'm estimating about 918 positions, and staff recommendation is 909.15 FTE. That is down from the governor's balanced budget, but it also included the 16 positions that the agency requested for that information resource management division. So,
okay. Are there questions specifically on this? Representative Johnson's recommendation?
No, Mr. Chair. I just violated the prime directive. I got a question on one of the other handouts.
Okay. There are other questions relative to the other handouts, and so which handout do you have there, Representative Johnson?
Department of Administrative Services, general comments, and then line item analysis. And this is in response to Representative Pavich's questions.
This is a two-page handout.
Yes, sir, two-page handout. I'm on the front page in item 4100, in-state travel with a $166,000 increase. I don't understand why, when we're reducing standard inflation, this appears to not reduce.
Okay.
Am I just reading this wrong?
Let's call Cindy or someone up from the agency and have them take us through, starting at line 0410, charges for services, and just explain the differences so that we'll be able to have that. And then line by line, we can go ahead and make the question.
Mr. Chair, unless they've gone through this line by line, I wouldn't mind hearing the description, because I had other questions where there are comments that say this is overstated, and there may be other questions in this.
Representative Johnson, while we're in work session, we're just going to go ahead and say everything is fair game. So any questions that you have need to be responded to by the agency. If they can't get it done today, they'll do it tomorrow on Monday.
Cool.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Please.
Mr. Chairman, should we just walk through these as quickly as we can,
but certainly with any interruptions, and there's some mechanics here that are very difficult to understand, because we've got an agency within, or we've got the divisions within the agency within the entire state assessment here, and so some of this you might have to draw me a picture of, Gary. So thanks to you.
Mr. Chair, for the record, Cindy Becker, Assistant Director, Department of Administrative Services. There are 3 points that I think are important to keep in mind as we walk through this. The first is that these estimates were entered over a year ago, and the estimates that were entered into Orbitz are locked in, and I can tell you if talking to our internal accounting folks that they're a point in time and may or may not be reflective of actual spending.
Representative Patridge?
And I guess my question is, Mr. Chair, I'd like to see a budget note. If our accounting systems aren't matching up with our Orbitz systems, it makes absolutely no sense. I mean, what good are our budgeting tools in the state if they're not posting the accounting on a regular basis and it's transitioning over? My understanding is some places we have to hand do this between the accounting systems.
Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge, I mean, your point is well taken, and actually that is part of the second phase of Orbitz, is linking it with the accounting system, so that's exactly what our plans are.
What's the timeline?
Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge, I just found out I'm on the steering committee for this, and it's for next biennium. I don't have the exact time next biennium.
Dallas?
I may. I'm Mr. Chairman of the committee. We expect that portion to be hooked in before the 507 budget cycle.
So it'll give us real time?
I don't believe it would be real time, Mr. Chair, but it will be updated periodically, so it would be, at month end or quarter end.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Patridge, that the estimate will come from Orbitz, but we lock it for the budget process a year ahead of time, and so the estimates could vary. I mean, we can always bring you new estimates at the time we come to hearing, but they're locked in the budget system a year ahead of time.
Gary, even though this was printed in January of 2003, it really is information that's a year old.
Correct, Mr. Chairman, because we have to make those estimates. And what we can do, we'll use the Orbitz system to make the estimates, and then
let's call time out. We've got a recorder issue.
Yeah.
We'll go ahead. Gavel, let rest here. I'm sorry, we lost the tape.
Cindy, while we're at rest, you just introduced yourself as Deputy Director.
Assistant director.
Yes.
Okay. Where am I on the chart?
Yeah.
I'm doing three positions.
She holds.
Now.
I have kept three positions
okay.
Open. It's.
We'll come back on the record. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. During the brief recess, I was inquiring of Ms. Becker when she sat down at the witness table and started giving her testimony. She identified herself as assistant director, and I'm trying to understand where she fits on the org chart.
Let me, Mr. Chairman, take a crack at this, since I've put Cindy in this position. She's actually filling three positions. We have a communications job, which a person left and I didn't fill because Cindy has that experience. We have a legislative affairs position that has historically been budgeted, and we have an assistant director for operations. Cindy is doing those jobs right now, and I've left them vacant because I want to restructure. I don't think I need that kind of superstructure.
Mr. Chair, with your
permission,
that seems to pioneer new territory in working out of class. How's that working out?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not going to let you ask her. Representative Johnson, it worked out fine from my perspective, but we actually have her in the position of the Assistant Director for Operations, but doing those other functions of the two positions that I've left vacant.
And follow up, what's going to happen with those other two positions? You're in the process of restructuring.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Johnson, right. I don't need all three of those positions. I'm trying to redo this agency, slim it up a bit, and I need the flexibility to do that. So I'm going to give up some of those positions, but I want to do it in the context of sort of building the whole,
Follow up. Give up or use up?
No, Mr. Chairman, Representative Johnson, I don't think I'm going to need all the positions that I now have, but I'd like to have the ability to figure out how to best use some of them. I'm not
I'm not prepared to say I need a full-time communications director, a full-time legislative director. We're doing fine. And Cindy, we brought one person up, Representative Johnson, to assist Cindy, a person who's done some writing and so on. But that's all we've added, and that's at a much lower salary level than the positions that are vacant.
We transferred that person within DAS.
Within DAS.
Thank you.
Senator Devlin?
Mr. Chairman, this is a pretty open discussion, right?
Yes.
In terms of
we will try and circle back to the orbits problem relative to the orbits presentation. But please, Senator.
I think there's been a lot of good work on this budget, but I'm still dealing with an underlying difficulty, and that is Representative Patridge and I, and actually Representative Butler, serve on the Public Safety Committee. And to give a comparison, I mean, we've already closed 4 OIA regional facilities. We don't know if we're going to have to close a 5th, depending on resources. And I'm meeting with a group of those employees next week. They're probably going to ask me if they'll still have a job after July 1st. And in a budget that is this large, we've cut less than 1% of the positions and actually just barely over 2% of the budget. And how do I reconcile that with what's happening in other budgets? I mean, how can I explain that you have a budget like this that ends up with a 2% cut and a direct service delivery budget that ends up with, that's probably the most extreme case, actually. But I'm sure that Senator Winters has some cases in human resources agencies that are just as significant, if not more. So I'm just trying to personally reconcile that with how I explain it.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Devlin, we're not a program agency. Our job is to support government, and our costs are reflected in either assessments or fees and so on. I don't know what to tell you other than, you know, I think there are opportunities to skinny up this gas operation myself. In 3 months, I haven't figured out where all those are. We have a staffing plan that Representative Patridge was asking us about HRSD. One of the first things I did was to ask the human resource manager to look at a reorganization of that division. We have a plan to reorganize it, which cuts the management staff more than half. And, you know, I'd rather not describe all those positions because I haven't told those employees yet. But we think we're asking you for the resources we need to manage what is government at the time that you conclude this. And, you know, I'm willing to continue to look for ways to slim up the department. But it's, you know, we have to figure out how to manage government. You know, we don't run any programs, and it's a very difficult comparison, I think, to look at our costs and agency program costs, because we still, you know, regardless of what you might do with the number of facilities in OIA, we still run an accounting shop and a payroll shop and so on. And closing those 4 institutions in OIA, frankly, has very little impact on the payroll operation, the accounting operation, the facilities operation of state government. And so there's not a one-to-one thing where if you close so many institutions, I can, in DAS, lay off so many people.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if I could give an example, I think that there are over 200 positions in facilities actually authorized, and I think there's a recommendation to actually eliminate one position in facilities. Is it possible that you could find any more economies than that? I mean,
well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Devlin, it depends on what standards you want us to maintain. Could we lay off more groundskeepers? I'm sure we could. We would, you know, mow the grass less, take care of the plants less. Now, in other biennia, those things have already happened. I mean, we can show you the decline in the number of facilities people. The same is true for janitorial and maintenance services. Could we lay some folks off? I'm sure we could. It has an impact within the building. Recognize now that everybody dumps their own trash, at least in the executive branch. I don't know what's happening in the judicial branch, but
we empty our own trash in a common receptacle now. We clean our own facilities. Your offices aren't clean. You're responsible for maintaining your cubicle and so on like that. So there's not a lot left to cut other than to say we would do fewer of the maintenance kind of activities, the landscaping kind of activities.
Senator, is that responsive?
Yes, it is. One of the things I'd like to see, Mr. Chairman, when Dallas comes back is that I understand that some of the early reports that we had about vacancies in various departments, including this one, particularly this one, that there were some overcounting of vacancies. And
yes, Dallas had mentioned to me out in the hall that there had been, in fact, an overcounting of vacancies.
And so if we're going to actually not take action on the budget today, but on Monday, if that's the chair's intent, if we could just get a report from Dallas on what he found in terms of vacancies overall. I wouldn't expect Dallas to be prepared today to do that, but...
I think that's a valid. I think we've got a total of 19 positions saved. Is that correct? I think there's.
I believe that's it.
Is it 19 positions that we've. What's your recommendation at this point, Dallas?
It's 15.
15. I beg your pardon, Chair. I beg your pardon. Yeah. Thank you. And Dallas, Senator Devlin is requesting an analysis of the original information as to where we're at today with regard to the vacancies and those positions that are not to be filled. Do you have that information at hand?
Not right here.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I wouldn't expect Dallas to have it today, but if we're going to act on this budget on Monday, I'd like to see it. And I did mention while Dallas was outside that we'd talked and there'd been some overcounting of vacancies in the early presentations on how many vacancies there actually were in the department.
We'll get that. Representative Patrick, recognized?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm trying to get to also the rate discussion. Senator Devlin and Representative Butler and I had at our, because DAS is very rate driven. I'm trying to get how you come up with the, when we did it, at least for the Attorney General's rate, which is rate driven, Doug walked us through how they built the rate and what was put in, what was taken in, and what was taken out, and where inflation was added and where inflation wasn't added, so we had a good understanding of what was what. And so I'd like to have a similar discussion, and maybe we can talk about that, but I just don't know how the rate's driven, and I'm going to have a lot of rate-based questions as a result of this, and maybe I'm the only one who doesn't understand how the rates, maybe I need a more simplistic way the rates were driven, but I certainly like the way we walked through the other rates before. And I know you set the budget, but I'm also trying to see that rate discussion help me walk through and say, okay, this was the rate for these services last time, and this is what the agency added back in to arrive at the governor's balanced budget.
Do we have that detailed rate?
This is what LFO is recommending that we back out of that rate. So then we have an understanding of what the rate is, because I have no idea how to get my arms around these rates, and that's the largest single budget driver in this budget. So, Mr. Chair, if we can work through some of that, and does that make any sense, Dallas, or is that not doable? I mean, I know the rate is based on the staffing, but by the staffing and what the agency requires.
If I may, the Department of Administrative Services is funded by a mixture of assessments. Assessments are a flat charge to agencies to support a portion of the department's activity. A good example is Budget and Management Division. There is no rate for Budget and Management Division. There is the budget. They arrive at the cost of operating that division. That is that division's budget. And that is then divided out on a formula basis and assessed to state agencies. The same holds true for Human Resource Services Division, although there is a little bit of rate in there for training, I believe. It's non-limited. It's a cost recovery item. But most of the Human Resource Services Division, again, is assessed by building its budget, what it would cost to operate it. And that's why we had some reductions from assessments, because we were having savings in those divisions. And in those carryouts, there's a number of different operations within the department that are assessment. Then some of those same divisions would have a charge for service. the controller's division will have a processing charge for processing warrants and the like. That charge is based on its estimated cost to produce a warrant or to write a check or to much like transact our payroll, for example, and the automatic deposits. Facilities has a combination. There's a little bit of assessment in facilities for what's called the Capitol Mall Plaza here, a little bit of
debt. I understand these things. Build. What I'm asking for is we had the base rate before. What's caused that rate? Because this budget is predominantly other funds that are received by other agencies. And so my question is, if we have a, say it's $100, and the governor's balanced budget, for the attorney general's rate, it was $97 last buying. Then the governor assumed 108 in his budget. And we know how he built all those pieces, and he built inflation, and he built some of those kinds of things in. So then we took that 108 rate, and then we explained it. Then we took out, you know, where we took the 5,100 cuts, the inflation, all the other things, so that we understand what's going on with the rate, you know, and then we can look at
we can do that, Mr. Chairman, Representative Patridge. Every like uniform rent, we've already talked about. There's a depreciation factor. There's a utilities factor. We've got a percentage increase based on what we've got from utility companies in Oregon about what our utilities are going to be. We have a factor in there for maintenance and grounds. You can reduce.
I understand that. And I guess
I'm answering your question. We can give you that and tell you exactly what each of the components are. And then if you want to, Representative, if you wanted to adjust any of the components, then it has an offsetting effect on the rates.
The rates are established, obviously, to recover costs. For example, many lives ago when I headed upstate printing, our goal was to come in at zero. And so during the course of the biennium, we would adjust the rates. If we were making too much money, we'd adjust the rates down and vice versa. But what we can do is go through particularly the areas of, it'll be IRMD, I think you're interested in IRMD, printing, motor pool. Surplus property. Those things are rate driven. What we can do is show you the rates, the current rates, where they're projected to be, and what makes up those differences.
Right, and I'm interested in seeing though your flat rates too that you're redistributing. How do you come to the calculation this time? Is it adding staff as a policy package? Is it a inflationary adjustment? Is it what you're? Okay. That's all I'm trying to figure out. If that makes sense.
Dallas,
we'll do that. I mean,
we'll do that
because it is different. For some, it wouldn't be a rate; it'd be the assessment.
Well, the rate or the assessment. But, I mean, at least then we understand how it's built. Because this is so other fund driven. I mean, it's what percentage of our budget's other funds?
Almost 100%.
100%.
9.9%.
You know, and we're all looking at general fund savings and other things, but really the general fund savings or federal fund savings are all out in the other budget.
And the anticipated amount.
And it assumes that the charges are there.
I think the anticipated amount of general fund portion and any price changes is around 35% based upon my calculation here. So for every dollar saved, then there's 35 cents that comes back and translates into the general fund. Representative Patridge?
I just wanted to, I don't know what the flavor of the committee is. I'm interested in walking through some of these answers a little bit because they prompted some more questions. And I'm also interested, Mr. Chair, in getting a list of the other funds. I mean, I was amazed that I read this productivity improvement fund that's in statute. And one, I want to know if the director plans on following the law during this biennium as he skinnies down his department and puts 50% of the funds that he finds as a result of efficiencies into the productivity fund, which is required by state statute, if that money's going to be put in there, which is what the state statute says, that any efficiencies that are found in state government that are identified as efficiencies should be going into this statewide efficiency fund. And I imagine that was the intent of the legislature, was to try and practice some of those efficiencies. I'm interested if the director's going to follow the law and put the money in the fund as he skinnies up human services and those kinds of things. And secondly, I'd like a list of the funds that are currently available, the other funds that the director has control over. I mean, this productivity fund says shall not require any increase in funding or increases in expenditure limitation and shall not require legislative review. That's
so you can't have it. If it requires no legislative review, you can't have it.
No, but I can know what's in it. It's not a public record. But then I have to keep
Just for the record, I do intend to follow the law.
Okay.
The productivity fund is a creation of the legislature in partnership with the executive branch. It hasn't worked, and would be less than honest to tell you that it's functioning really well. In recent years, there hasn't been an interest in putting the money, any savings, back into the productivity fund because we've had other uses for it. If that's where you want any kind of savings we're able to achieve to go, that's what we'll do.
Well, I guess my question, Mr. Chair, is you're the COO of the state now, pursuant to our conversations and announcements and proclamations by the governor, and so this applies to all agencies, all state agencies. So I want some assurance that the money's going to go into a productivity fund if we find efficiencies in state government that are then captured for your redistribution, whether it be loans, cash, or grants.
Okay.
No, I'd like to have an answer on the record whether we're going to make sure that state agencies follow the law, or otherwise let's change the law and say it's not going to happen.
Mr. Chairman, when we identify efficiencies, if that's where you want all the efficiency savings to go, then that's what we'll do. And my point to you is that that's not been the choice, I think, of this assembly in recent years, is to put any savings into the productivity fund. I'm happy to do that, just following the letter of the law. And
Mr. Chair, ORS 182.365 doesn't give a choice. It is the law. That's what the Legislative Assembly has required. The governor has signed into law. So I just like to see, as we look into the future, that I'd like an expectation that this either be followed or the governor needs and the legislature need to repeal this particular law. Because if it's not being followed, it doesn't make sense to have it on the book. So
I guess from a legislative fiscal standpoint, any of the efficiencies have been extracted in cash and used elsewhere 100%.
That's my point, Mr. Chairman.
But that's fine. But at least if they go into the efficiency fund, we know that the efficiency was found. It can go out in a cash grant or whatever, but at least it's a way to handle the efficiencies, Mr. Chair.
Senator Winters?
Mr. Chair, perhaps, a good issue has been raised and maybe a discussion needs to be held by this legislative body of whether or not it's still appropriate to have that statute.
What year was this passed? 19. Anyway, we can go on, Mr. Chair.
Okay, let's come back, Cindy, to the information which you are providing today, again, back to the general comments. And Dallas, we've since received some update as to when the phase two of orbits will be put in place.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. The comparison of budget to actual within the orbit system release tool was scheduled for February 2004. Actuals will be available on a monthly basis at that time for review by LFO and BAM to be able to compare month to month for the biennium. So it's scheduled to come on stream February of 2004. It will not be real time. SFMS isn't real time, but the update and the upload into the orbits will be monthly at the end of each month.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, the record, Kelly Fields, Department of Administrative Services. For those agencies where we can make that conversion, we will have that capability. For some of the large agencies, the shift from accounting to the budgeting system, such as DHS, is going to take a little bit more time.
Thank you. Again, we had a draft budget note, Mr. Chair, about for agencies to directing.
There's an expectation we're going to drive that way, Mr. Chair. There's going to be a practical matter for very large budgets of being able to achieve that.
We're having trouble hearing you, Kelly. If you'll take that into the microphone.
I don't want the record, Mr. Chair, to be incomplete on this subject.
And speaking for the record.
For the record, Kelly Thrills with the Department of Administrative Services.
We know that there's going to be a budget note which we support, which will, the intention is to link the accounting system and the budget system together. We also understand that for large agencies, because the SFMS system was developed first, that there's going to be some conversion problems for large agencies, so we can have that consistent match between the accounting system and the budgeting system. So for smaller agencies, I think Dallas's comments are correct. We probably have that information. I think it's going to take a longer time for larger agencies to have that conversion made.
Dallas, that budget note. This is a prior budget note, is it not?
No, this is a draft of a budget note for budgets this session.
Okay, please.
That the agency is directed to establish its accounting program structure in RSTARS, which is the state financial management system, to match to the budget structure in the Oregon Budget Information System, ORBITS, for the execution of the 2005-07 biennium. This action will more easily link accounting with budgetary information as directed in the statewide financial master plan approved by the 1989 legislature. Budget Management and Legislative Fiscal Office will approve these structures and work with the agency to approve these structures and ensure timely implementation. I think this is trying to bring closure to what was started back in 1989.
Mr. Chair, I don't have any problems with the budget note. I think Dallas's comment about the agencies being up and running and having monthly information is what I'm concerned about. So for large agencies, I don't have any information to suggest that we'll have monthly information in our budgeting system or even our accounting system for human services and some of the larger
agencies. Thank you, Kelly. Representative Patridge.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's obvious that this has languished since 1989 as a result of the budget note. I'm interested to know, one, if any accounting systems have been purchased by agencies that wouldn't leak into the system because no standards have been set with the system. And two, frankly, I'd be interested in reserving some money in this budget until DAS, who was supposed to coordinate this project, provides us a timeline for when agencies actually are going to be converted rather than and reserve that to the e-board or Joint Information Management and Technology Committee so that we get a timeline and we know and we can hold people accountable as to when they're going to get on this, when they're going to get on the budgeting system so we actually have some tools.
If I may, Mr. Chair, going back to 1989, I think some historical perspective is of help. The state didn't have a unified accounting system prior to the state financial management system. Every agency was allowed to have its own accounting system and structure, and when the legislature was supporting, I believe the history is supporting a unified budgeting system, what needed to come first was a unified accounting system. And agencies have been brought into the fold over time, some kicking and fighting, but now are pretty much they're on the state's financial management system with possibly a few exceptions, but they're moving into the system now. The second phase then was once that was set up is to then develop the budget system and then link them. So that's the process, and it has taken a number of years and agencies. So that's the history.
Mr. Chair. But I think the issue here is, and maybe they have one already, but it would certainly be nice to see a timeline.
Oh, yeah.
And it would certainly be nice for them to present a timeline of who's going to be on and when they're going to convert, and so that they can cut. And then I hear out in the public, or I hear from agencies, oh, well, we didn't have the money. Well, if they can't meet the timeline, then they need to tell the legislature what the constraints are for their inability to meet the timeline to gain some efficiency. So I think it would be incumbent upon us to, if we're going to make them move over, it's nice to have an idea, make a plan. So I don't know. You might want to run that up to the
blackboard. Chair, I think we can put that in for
that. Yeah,
continue
no
review by the JLCIT during.
But it has no teeth. If you don't tie some money to it, it has no teeth.
And let me ask this as a practical matter: how do you reserve to the e-board in other funds? Is it just the expenditure limitation?
Mr. Chairman, of the committee, we would not provide expenditure limitations, probably, and require them to come back to the emergency board for the limitation. The other way to deal with it is to ask budget management not to schedule or allot the funds.
and then allow them to reschedule or allot the funds as the legislature is comfortable.
Okay. Representative Johnson.
No.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Cindy, we've interrupted you probably 18 times, but I just wanted to say this. Back in 1989, we were really struggling to find any systems that were integrated back then. And it wasn't until probably the mid-90s that there was income tax software that was available to a smaller office under 100 people that had a depreciation, that had capacity to have fixed asset management in the balance sheet. So it's not been that long. I mean, when we go back to 1989, it sounds like a long, long time ago, but back in 1989, there were very few, and Alice, you've been practicing nearly as long as I have. You're a young man. But we didn't have a lot of even big systems that had full accounting financial management in the entire system. I mean, a full capacity to really report a balance sheet that had cash transactions in it as well as capital transactions in it. So, and accounting for the fact that probably municipal governments are at least 10 years behind industry, you know, we're not doing too bad for 1993 right now. So, I mean, about 10 years behind. But I've got every confidence that if we can start to get this up and get some real time or close to real time, and it's really frustrating, but I get frustrated sometimes not being able to find the stuff online that I'd like to be able to find online relative to our budget. It isn't there. It isn't there. Eventually, I'm sure it will be. But with that, I just express that frustration, but that frustration also it should be taken into consideration that my immediate predecessor in House District 60 has never turned on a computer. So, I mean, he wouldn't have done it here. I mean, you'd have had 89 computers for the House members because the 90th member would never have, House and Senate would never have turned it on. Senator, did you have a...
No, just that the Senate has to.
Okay, you got it. 10:30. Cindy, as I say, we've interrupted you for the last time. At that point, we're going to take this back up on Monday morning if we could. And Dallas, schedule-wise, can you accommodate our schedule?
Yes, we can do that, sir.
Okay. With that, we're going to carry over the work session on 5005 out to 5002, the Department of Administrative Services, until Monday morning. And Cindy, we'll pick that back up on the comments, questions you've got there. Thank you very much.
Have the right information.
Thank you, Mr.